Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Monday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh! Yo.
As we count down to Hamilton, which will be released in 4 days.
One,
4 days
two,
from now,
three,
we will all
four.
Have Hamilton.
Well, if you've subscribed, because if
everybody's
going to
subscribe.
The...
Everybody's going to subscribe. To get Hamilton for free? Come on, for $6 a month, you're going to get your money's worth in like a day and a half.
Buddy, I've seen it live 3 times, and I've listened to that thing like 150 times.
Doesn't matter. You have kids. I have a daughter. We're going to be watching. It's going to be like going to Costco. Well, is the membership worth it? Are you kidding? It's going to be worth it in the first time you go there.
Yeah, no, it'll
four
be good
days
for that.
Hamilton.
I mean, that's the month worth. Yeah, no, that's cool.
4 days.
I don't think I'm going, other than the King George parts, I don't think I'm going to hammer it too often.
Wow. See, that's where I think you are underestimating the power of your children. Dad, can we watch Hamilton? Sure. Now I got 3.5 hours
to myself.
Wait till
your daughter's 14. She won't come talk to you either.
Hey, listen. Just because you brought her up to not like your White Sox and the Bears and all these other things, listen, you can't just sit down when she's 10 and when she says, "Dad, I'd like to do something, you know, I want to write. I want to do something creative. I want to give back to this earth, to give back to the world." You go, "No, we need to watch the NFC Championship game from 85 against the Rams because we really shut down Dickerson and Dieter Brock." This is what happens to kids when they get 14. They're like, "Boy, my dad's really going to want to go back and watch Caleb Haney in the fourth quarter against the Packers, and how close they were." He's going to start saying how it didn't matter, the color got hurt. This is what happens. This is when kids grow apart from you, man. It's really all your fault.
Well, I've blamed myself for pretty much everything anyway. It's why I have such a cheery disposition most of my life. But yeah, I've got one that's into soccer and only soccer.
Yeah.
Occasionally, what does this mean when she wants to go argue with the boys?
Mm-hmm.
And then the older one who really couldn't care unless we get to go to a live event, then she knows she's going to get to eat well.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, why? You don't feed your kids? Wait, do I have to call child services? Hang on
no,
a second.
No, the point
Let me
being
hang on
that...
A second.
Oh, to keep the peace and make sure I can get past the fifth inning of a game, that means the food's got to keep flowing.
Wait, I'm texting Child Services. Harmon does not feed.
If you've got them on text messages,
daughter.
Then you've got some other problems going on.
Well, no,
on
it's
your
for
world,
you.
Pal.
It's been on for you. I've been informing on you. I'm like Matt Damon from Departed. Sorry, spoiler. I've been informing on you for a long time.
Well, you know what? He doesn't get away with it, so be careful. Spoiler.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Obviously, a huge weekend in the NFL. We got Cam Newton is now a member of the Patriots. We'll have more on that coming up in 15 minutes. Jason Cole's going to stop by. Many, many things to say to talk about Cam to the Patriots. But today really... was something that we alluded to last week that you're starting to see come to fruition. Because if you remember last week, we said, NBA is coming back and MLB is getting ready and everybody's getting ready to return. But, and we've been, this has been a common thread for us for a while. When it comes time to actually go play, it's not all the way done until the players are actually there. And today, what have we seen? In Major League Baseball, Mike Leake, Ryan Zimmerman, both have opted out of playing this season and joining their teams due to coronavirus concerns. Meanwhile, Fred VanVleet said we probably shouldn't be playing at all. One of the probably should have been MVP of the finals last year. I was like, I was the only one that said he should be MVP of the finals last year. Said they probably shouldn't be playing this year, but he's going to go play. He's going to go play with everybody else. DeAndre Jordan. A tweet just a few moments ago. He has tested positive for COVID-19. DeAndre Jordan will not be joining the Orlando bubble. Spencer Dinwiddie, also unsure on when he is going to restart after a positive test of COVID-19 himself. So here's today where you have two Major League Baseball players say, yeah, I don't know, and you know there's going to be more. And you've had more NBA players either test positive or express reservations about going to play in the bubble. Before you say, well, it's one player, you just need one player. You're talking about one player on a team of 12. You know, this is where if you have one player on a team, okay, you can isolate one guy, but then there's one more. You're isolating somebody else. This is a time right now in our country where when you have to want to put everything into the pot together and say, okay, what's going to come out of this? It's not for certain that we're going to see resumptions of these seasons because the way things have been going in the country the past few days, you want to go over the past 10 days, with coronavirus cases spiking everywhere and the WHO warning that the worst could be still be coming if we're not paying attention. Because look, we didn't open smart enough. And that's on us. That's on everybody that opened early, and everybody who didn't open smart enough and try to keep distances and social distance and do what we had been doing to flatten the curve for a long time. You are now going to see players get even more nervous, especially about going to Florida, where Florida wanted to tout that, hey, we're open for business. We're great. And now you've heard nothing because they've had the biggest spike in the country in COVID-19 cases. And so just to think that this is still a very frail time right now for both sports. Major League Baseball's got to navigate the next few days before they get people actually into camps. The NBA has got to navigate the next few weeks, and more players are getting jittery and skittish and nervous, and who knows what's going to happen when it really comes to it. You know, right now, I guarantee you, if the players have to go, the baseball players are going to go, and they're going to say, you know what, first sign of anything, we're leaving. I mean, right, they got one foot out there. If they go, they got one foot out the door going, okay, one thing goes wrong, and I'm done. I'm done and I'm going back. This is not the way we should be going into the season. We should be going into here. And things were fine, but I think the world changed 10 days ago when suddenly, when coronavirus, everything was doing better and it looked like, you know, New York City was kind of the flashpoint for the country. Things were okay. Then they got really bad. Then they started to flatten the curve. Except 10 days ago, we saw many other states, over 30 states, report new highs in cases. And it's not this way in every state, but it's enough to make enough teams nervous, enough players nervous, and you have positive COVID-19 tests, you have players who are going to be skittish going in, because it's going to be them. They're the ones saying, we're risking what we're risking. And the more time you have to think about decisions like that, the more up in the air these decisions get. These next few days are going to be huge, but especially Major League Baseball, because these are the guys that got to report first. These are the guys we're supposed to see in the next few days. And if you're not, if suddenly we saw a first couple of guys today say, I'm not comfortable with going, maybe that means a few more feel comfortable saying, I don't feel really good about this. Or maybe these are phone calls of Tony Clark right now saying, hey, I don't know about this. Things aren't going that well. These next few days are so crucial when it comes to the restart of sports just because of what's happened the past 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Major League Baseball discussions. Ryan Zimmerman had penned a post that went out over the weekend, and I covered it a little bit with LeVar Arrington on our Sunday show, just as a, well, here's a guy writing, 3 week old, his mom with MS. So talking about, well, I'd have to be away from them for however many weeks, most certainly after the season were to end. So extenuating circumstances, you know, part of it, you start looking into the economics of it, right, for the players that got a chunk of money or have already banked a ton of money, like in the case of a Ryan Zimmerman, not on a huge deal right now, but has certainly banked a lot of money in his career. So the ability to do this perhaps a little bit easier, right? You look at Fred Van Vliet's comments saying, well, this is what they decided to do, and if more people had opted out, maybe I would too. So just from a he's in no man's land, right? Trying to figure out which way the league as a whole wants to go and just try to be supportive as he can. And it's that catch 22, right? Because how many people are going to openly criticize a guy for opting out, regardless of what the family circumstance, right? If Zimmerman didn't have a 3 week old kid or his mom's illness, but still said he opted out. I mean, outwardly, you're going to have everybody go, hey, you know, you got to do you in this time. But inwardly, in the locker room, whatever, you know, take it to any of the others that have opted out. I can't imagine it's sitting 100% well, no matter what the extenuating circumstances are, right? There's still the profession, job to do, etc., and getting back to whatever normal is. Baseball is also different in that you're going to be traveling. Right, you're not, even though you're at your home parks, you're still going to have travel series, and they'll do their best to mitigate how much you're in the air, how much of that the moving parts are there. But you've added a lot more variables by the way the season is currently structured versus against the NBA. The NBA is, all right, we just got to get you through these last 3 weeks. And then once we get you inside. Now, the variable that hasn't been handled well to my thinking, Jason, and we've talked about it a bit on the show, is what do you do with all those Walt Disney World employees that get to go home every night, right? So whatever they go and do in their off hours and then come back to the quote-unquote bubble that has got a gaping hole in it as you get ready to start play at the end of the month. That's the part that still remains to be seen. But I'm with you. I think we'll see probably another few stars and big names at least raise the question in their local newspapers or local radio before they get report to for duty.
Yeah, I think at some time there's going to be that big call with Tony Clark. The NBAPA is going to say, listen, we need all these assurances that we're safe if we're going to go. We need one more big, hey, we're on top of everything. Just because you get on the internet and you see, okay, here's more spikes, here's more cases. We got to get it under control. We don't have it under control. We have to get it. You're going to see that. And despite the fact that there's portions of the country that want to push forward no matter what. And that's my thing, is that I don't know that we're ever going to go back. We're ever going to go back and not reopen the country? Or is it going to be really individuals who decide what they want to do? Listen, we're going to be at home until we feel safe, and others are going to say, I'm going to go out and shop, and I'm not going to wear a mask, and we're going to be living in two different Americas for a while, because I don't know that we can go back to where we're at. Because opening back up, I mean, unless there's some kind of specific governmental order about wearing masks and closing things, that's how we're going to live. But no matter what, if you think this is just going to be pushed forward, that the NBA and Major League Baseball is going to say, yeah, positive test here, pot, keep going, positive test here, pot, keep going, we're still going. Players are going to say, whoa, we're done. You know, never forget the power of the players when it comes to this, is that they're not going to be told, we need to have, commerce go. We need to make sure the economy goes. We need to make sure we're making money at this. You go play. Players right away are going to say, yeah, not doing it. It will happen very, very fast. It'll be one of those things where one day it's going to be, okay, I get it. Three phone calls are made and we're not playing anymore. I mean, that's how it's going to go. So it's not like, well, the country's opening up, so we're just going to, everybody's going to just get pushed into doing this, and keep, whether you want to do it or not, you're in to try it, which I think it's great to try. But the moment that players don't feel safe, or even before they get there, they're going to say they don't want to go. And what are you going to do? I mean, you can't make them go. The government and no matter, isn't going to say, you have to go, you got to report, what are you doing? Gavin Newsom's not going to tell Justin Turner, you got to get to camp, you got to get there. That's not going to happen. So that's how it's going to, I mean, to think that it could be, well, we're going to try and go, and if there's positive tests, no, players are going to say, yeah, that's it, and then it's going to be, what do we do now? So that's really how it's going to go. If you think, well, we're on this path, that's what I mean, this next week is really, really big. And if I'm the NBA and Major League Baseball, I am doing all I can to try to tell the players, we got you. Look, there's 300 players. We've had 15 positive coronavirus tests. We are going to isolate these people. We will test you. We will get all the way through. Yes, these are 15, but we have all of you safe. We're going to continue to test. And the players then are going to have to decide if they want to go. Because for all of us, if you and I worked in a 250-person company, right, and we found out, hey, 15 people have tested positive for coronavirus. And these are not people who have been around for a while. Maybe they've been in and out of the office, and maybe you've come across them, maybe you haven't. Would you still be as excited to go into work every day? Well, we're going to isolate you. Everything is going to be good. Come through the doors and come work. People are going to say, no. Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Well, but that's,
remember,
the question,
that's what it's going to be for the NBA and Major League Baseball, too.
Well, but from that point, there's a difference between are you excited versus will you do it? Versus with cash considerations, do you need to do it? Right, because the Major League Baseball and the NBA can also look at it and go, you know what? We're cheering laundry. You love the superstars. We recognize the pandemic. There's other people that we could put in those jerseys. NFL did it on strike year. You've had circumstances in the past where you've had to find the replacements. Hell, maybe Keanu Reeves got a couple of throws in his arm. But the reality is, that's why we're starting to look at the potential of, you know, how big are those rosters, right? Major League Baseball putting in their 60s. Sorry, no Tebow for the Mets. But trying to make sure you've accounted for those. And for the NBA, we're seeing a lot of familiar names signing on to deals, you know, with options into next year. And part of that is just insurance over what's to come. So I think there's ways around it, but it's going to be an interesting road for sure.
Yeah,
still, I mean,
that's
I'm sitting
it. I mean,
with my foam finger, man.
Yeah, it's not like it's impossible, but it's just you can't the NBA and MLB can't just say everything's going to be fine and think everybody's going to report. I mean, every day things change, and they're okay, now we got to do even more work. There's got to be more handholding and more convincing. The more closer you get, come on. It's just like a realtor who's trying to get somebody to buy a house. You know, you can't just say, oh, great, you're in, you got it, great. Yeah, I'll see you at the signing. No, your realtor is calling you, making sure things are good. They're bringing you coffee, and they're saying, are we good? Hey, did you get your inspection done? Get your inspection done so we can sign the papers so I can make my commission. There's always handholding near the end, and there's got to be a lot of handholding here between MLB and the NBA. There's got to be tons of it. They got to be sure. Holding both hands of everybody all the way across. It's got to be like Hands Across America, from the 80s and from the really overrated movie.
Someone with the giant tote board to remind them how much money is at stake if they don't play.
Yeah, everybody's got a lot of handholding. A lot of handholding. Twitter
across America.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. That's Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We'll have more on this throughout the night. But coming up next, Cam Newton is back 1 year with the New England Patriots. On Saturday, no one was even talking about him. Sunday night, it was, you know, Cam Newton can bring the Patriots to the Super Bowl. What's the truth? We'll tell you coming up next. Keep it right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, a man you could call him an outcast. I guess that would be a pretty good way to describe. He is the outcast of Pro Football Hall of Fame voters. Currently, he is still a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, as well as the editor-in-chief of Fansided.com, longtime NFL insider, Jason Cole. J. Cole, what's happening, buddy?
I would say that they probably believe that I'm miscast.
Okay, why would you be miscast? I think that's a pretty good casting.
As a Hall of Fame voter? I mean, based on the fact that I want to get Roger Staubach and Drew Pearce. I mean, bar Drew Pearson from ever being in the Hall of Fame, which should be done. And then trying to get Roger Staubach out of the Hall of Fame, which also should be done.
Are you getting?
But I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, right? That's what we talk about. You can have that.
Are you getting people on Twitter there saying, "Do you really want to get Pearson and not get Staubach out of the Hall of Fame?"
Do they really send you guys emails about that? Are Cowboys fans like that stupid?
No. Here's the most common responses I get from your appearances on the show. How fun you are, how happy they are to have you on every week. I know you gain listeners on Twitter, so you're welcome. And the other one is, boy, did you ever know that Jason Cole sounds like Andrew Luck? Those are the two most common responses.
The Andrew Luck thing's been going on for, you know, a decade, basically. Yeah. You know, so ever since he became part of the national sports consciousness. And I never made a dime off of that. The fact that I can impersonate him that well, and I never capitalized on that.
You can start a cameo account tonight.
Like a Super Bowl. What?
Start a cameo account tonight. I'll do whatever message to your jackass buddies.
They're going to forget who Andrew Luck was pretty soon.
Here's what we do. I got it. Listen, this will get you all the notoriety in the world. We somehow figure out for you to
more
do an interview
on the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, but this is a big, like, this will be where people pick it up and you'll be a legend. I mean, you're a legend now, but you'll be a literally like Legend of Zelda if you do this. You do an interview with a radio station. That can't really be in Indianapolis because they probably know his voice a little bit too well. But maybe somewhere like in San Francisco.
Oh, no. Indianapolis was the place where they thought most of all that I was actually Andrew Luck. I used to do a regular appearance there. And people would go, why is Andrew Luck on your show every week? And I'm like, Oh my God, they're so stupid in Indianapolis. It's unbelievable. It's like it's worse than Cowboy fans.
So you do an interview and you announce you are coming back to play, right? Or here's what you do. You spend a morning doing interviews as Andrew Luck, but every radio station you give a different team you're coming back to. So in Indianapolis, you say,
I will come back. I will come back, but I'm only coming back if I can play for, and let's just keep naming teams. Should I start with the Jets because you guys get the most help?
Oh, sure, sure. Well, do interviews in New York and say you're going to play for the Jets. Do interviews in Jacksonville, say you're going to play for the Jaguars. And then soon all these teams say, no, he's playing with us. No, he's playing with us. No, he's playing. He promised. We have audio.
That the Colts trade me immediately. Kansas City.
Yeah. So oh, there you go. Yes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Boom.
That would be the best. Now, that would be a day. Listen, you would lose your Pro Football Hall of Fame voting rights.
You know, this has lose wheel turning. And normally, my wheels are real slow to turn because, let's just say, I'm not the brightest bulb.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you would lose everything you worked for professionally in your entire life. But, boy, for a day, you would be a legend. You would live for a day.
That shelf of books that I got together from, freebies from all the biographies I get sent. That's a big loss.
It's just all from family members looking to get their person into the Hall of Fame.
I love all the teams that send me packaging. Look for Donnie Shell. Let's break down his entire career in this 4-page pamphlet for you. Oh, God.
Listen, just think about it this way. Like in Braveheart, when Mel Gibson says, would you be willing to trade every day from now until the end of your life for one chance, just one chance? Would you be willing to trade your entire professional life for just one day of making everybody believe Andrew Luck was coming back?
It's got to be 15 different teams. We're going to do this April Fool's next year. We really are. We're going to do this April Fool's. I'm going to schedule 32 radio appearances on April Fool. I'm coming out of retirement to play for. The only one I won't do is Indianapolis because, no, I'm not playing for the Colts ever again.
All right, so from quarterbacks.
Can you imagine Roger Goodell at the end of the day is going to get, just shoot him.
It'd be like in the
Angel,
movie.
Florida. He does. I know it.
It'd be like in the movie when
the black book, get rid of him.
When you see all the SWAT guys show up outside the house and somehow the guy escapes. He's able to find a way out of his house. Yeah.
It'll be Troy Vincent as the leader of the SWAT group. And I've known Troy since 1992. But he'll go, I know that guy. Shoot him now.
He's crafty. Don't let him get away.
All right. So J. Cole, from quarterbacks who are not coming back, that we're going to play jokes with Andrew Luck, to a guy who did finally come back, what are you making of Cam Newton and the Patriots?
Why do I have this gut feeling he's never going to play for them. I think, number one, they did this, obviously, and they timed it up so perfectly. It's like, oh, we signed Cam Newton. Oh, by the way, we just got fined $1.1 million. Yeah. Never mind that. Just don't even pay. We lost another draft pick. Never mind. Okay? We got Cam Newton. Okay? So, it couldn't have been orchestrated any better, right? This is a total wag the dog, right? So, do I think it's a good thing? On face value, sure, whatever. You get a guy who's that kind of experience and everything for minimum salary. I think his body is shot. I just don't think the guy's healthy, and it's sad. And I hope that I'm wrong. I really hope that that I'm totally off base on this one. And that he can play again, right? I hope he gets it back together. But he's taken so much punishment. Just 7 seasons with 100 carries and all the sacks that he took. He's just, the guy's beat up, man. And so I just think that, they took him as, this is an interesting play to see if they can get something out of him. Maybe they can use him in certain situations because he's such a great runner with such great talent. But I think that they really want to see what Stidham's about. And maybe this is just, I don't know. I just get the feeling like this is much, a lot of talk about something that's never going to happen. Sort of like when they got Chad Johnson or Albert Haynesworth. And I wrote, you know, I tweeted about that earlier. Like, it was all this fanfare. They got this, oh, they got this guy. And like, look what they're going to do and all the different ways that Belichick could use him and this and that. It was like, nothing.
I love the fact that, as you mentioned, it came right on the heels of the penalties being handed down on a case.
Oh, it was like Mike Garofalo, you know, reported it was like, it was 7 minutes. Yeah. Like they just said, yeah. Okay, right here. Okay, drop the fine and the draft pick news. Like Kraft was like, did we get this out? Okay, go ahead. You can now announce the fine. It's fine. We're good.
Added Sunday night news dumps. And that was a case that I would guess 99% of the football loving audience didn't remember even existed.
They had that Cincinnati. What was that? Oh, yeah, third round pick. Okay, Cameron, thank you. Can we talk about that tomorrow? I mean, it's just like fresh meat. And here's the other thing. It's like you signed this guy like on the 28th of June. You don't have a single like practice between now and the start of maybe whatever becomes a training camp, right? And this is a total dog and pony show, 100%.
Now wait a minute, let me throw this out there to you. Now tell me the percentage chance you think this is the thing. The Patriots knew this story was getting out about the penalties for, you know, cheating and getting video in Cincinnati, and they only signed Cam Newton. They only signed Cam Newton to cover that up.
Like this is like you guys look. This sounds like all the president's men coming out again. Like this is what I mean. You guys are, you know, Hoffman and Redford right there. I mean,
this is Bob
like
Kraft
you guys,
says
you guys are on top of this.
No. Bob Kraft says this is another embarrassment, Bill. I can't believe we're going to get docked these draft picks again, and it's more money. And he goes, well, let's do something. Let's sign Cam Newton. No one will pay attention to that. Oh, what's it going to cost us? $7-8 million. Ah, sure. Okay, let's do that. All right, great.
Oh, the best part is they signed up for the minimum salary plus. Like, this could cost them absolutely nothing. Yeah. I mean, literally nothing. Like this, they got him for less than they're paying their backup guards. That's what this is.
It really is something of genius. It is
just the perfect shell game. It is absolutely the NFL shell game. You know, absolutely 100%. Like, go look over here, you know, but look away from the fact that we'd be penalized for the third time because we were so inept that we had cameras on in the middle of a press box. Like, that's the all-timer. Like, we got fined because we set up cameras in the press box and we pointed them at the opposite sideline. We're the Patriots. Like, they were penalized not because they were so much guilty of things and really were doing something. They were penalized for being stupid. Like, Roger Goodell just looked at this and go, you're kidding me, right? The Patriots filming in the press box? Seriously? Like, this is what we did? Oh, God.
Go hiding in plain sight.
You see Roger Goodell, like, sitting at his desk in New York and just, you know, just does a face palm, right? Just goes like this. Oh, God. What? And, like, calls it Kraft and goes, what am I supposed to do now? Well, just give me a few weeks and we'll sign Cam Newton and I'll have it all ready. Okay.
You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62 at JasonCole62.
Hey, by the way, good of you to show up this time. You know, after the last two Fridays, by the way. You know, and because of this, I had declared on Friday that if you don't show up my third straight appearance, I'd be taking over the show from you.
Oh, okay. Well, listen.
And you know, my tagline was going to be my opening line after I took over for you is go. Yeah, welcome to a better Jason.
While he still currently is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, maybe not after tonight. Jason Cole.
Maybe for three more days.
EIC at fansided.com. J. Cole, as always, buddy. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll
Later.
Talk to you.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
If and when the NBA does restart, we could, for the first time in nearly 2 years, see J.R. Smith on a basketball court, as the Lakers are planning to sign J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith, huge boner.
And submit his name as part of the franchise's roster for the restart in Orlando. They've been discussing a trade since Avery Bradley opted out of the season restart last week. So J.R. Smith, who hasn't played since October of 2018, on his way back to the NBA. And Mike, look, this is going to be great for everybody. We got J.R. Smith back. I think it's going to be awesome. I really can't believe LeBron James okayed this. I really can't.
I don't think he had to.
I mean, come on. It goes through LeBron. He's got to okay it. He's got to give his blessing. I couldn't do it. If this is a guy that didn't know the score of game one of the NBA Finals and ruined a chance at a ring, I can't say, yeah, come on back. Yeah, why not? I mean, I couldn't do it. I don't get it. I couldn't do it. Could not
what
do
am
it.
What are my options? I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right?
Could
what do I have out here in the free agent market? We've already lost Avery Bradley. We know the Clippers are bringing in Joakim Noah, the guy who works harder than anybody in the National Basketball Association. So how do we counter that kind of energy? I'm trying to say this as straight as I can. But it's a guy you know, right? It's a guy you've played with, and you know him from his worst. But you also saw him at his best, and he was a pivotal cog for them in a number of key circumstances in his years there in Cleveland. So, I don't know. Seems to me that it's a solid fit, and there's no way that LeBron this went through without him okaying it.
I can't believe it.
Look, there's
yes.
no way Jeannie Buss just said, I'm going to play a joke on LeBron.
No, of course.
I know we got a lot of stress going on with going into the bubble. There's
no, I just
a lot
can't believe
he'd
say
about
yes to it. I can't believe he'd be the guy that would say, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's have him come in. Because, the impact of him, J.R. Smith is a break glass in case of emergency signing, all right? Deion Waiters is going to play. Alex Caruso is going to play and suck up some of those minutes. KCP is going to play. Rondo. They're all going to play ahead. This is if something happens and a guy gets sick or a guy can't play or there's an injury. All right, then we can give J.R. Smith some minutes. I really don't see this as being anything where he affects the game or the restart, except it's J.R. Smith. So, you know, somehow he's going to find his way on the court in the final minute of a tied playoff game. I mean, he's not going to play at all, but somehow he's going to be on the court for the final minute of a big playoff game that matters, and he's going to wind up taking a shot. I mean, you just know that's how it's going
to
work out.
He's going to forget to put his jersey on, and he's going to run out there. No, it's been one we've been hoping for the last couple of weeks as we got ready for the restart. I don't know that he plays any sort of meaningful minutes, but he's a good warm body, a veteran guy, and a guy LeBron knows his tendencies, even if they are sometimes bad.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The last 48 hours, it's been, well, no one's talking about Cam Newton. No, Cam Newton, he was never to be found. We talked more about Jadeveon Clowney. Why can't he find a home? Cam Newton was nowhere. Cam Newton, nowhere, 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 nowhere. Then Sunday, the Patriots signed Cam Newton, and suddenly it's, you know, how far can Cam Newton take the Patriots? Can Cam Newton take the Patriots to the playoffs? And it's like everybody just forgot that he was someone that nobody wanted, and the only team to make him an offer was the Patriots. The Browns did a little bit of sniffing around, but there was no offer made, which maybe tell you what the Browns think about Baker Mayfield. If something happens and Baker Mayfield stinks, how quick is the hook going to be on him this coming season? But the Patriots say, all right, let's go get Cam Newton. And then today on my feed, Mike Harmon, it's like everybody on social media since Cam Newton signed was showing like his greatest plays of his career. And Cam Newton's had many great plays, right? Many great plays. And it would and invariably the posting would be like this. If Cam Newton can do something like this from his MVP season of 2015, the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. And it's some great Cam Newton play where either he shrugs off a tackler and throws for a first down, or, you know, runs for a big first down and dives. And, you know, look at this. Cam Newton, you know, a play like this in the Patriots offense, this is from 2013. If Cam can do this, watch out. And every posting, I'm saying to myself, everybody's just ignore. They think that by posting his best ofs, this means this is the player Cam Newton is. You know, I can post, you know, some of Dwight Gooden's best games for the Mets, you know, back in 1986. Doesn't mean he can throw the baseball like that now. I mean, I could post, hey, remember when Matt Harvey did this back in 2013? Remember how great Matt Harvey was? Boy, if the Mets would sign him back again, he could be this great again. Well, it's not 2013. It's not 2015. It is 2020. And there's a reason why Cam Newton was out. There's a reason why nobody signed him. There's a reason why any other team could have had him and nobody gave him an offer. And here are the Patriots who make Cam Newton an offer. And it's a good move for the Patriots because I like it, and we'll get into why. But let's just understand that you're not getting Cam Newton of 2015. You're not getting that guy. You're getting Cam Newton who for the past 3 or 4 years has been an average quarterback, whose quarterback rating has been below average for the past 4 years. Who's thrown 65 touchdowns and 43 picks, all right? His overall one-loss record is 500. This is not the Cam Newton of 2015. It is a different Cam Newton that has not been as good, that is, oh, by the way, coming off an injury, losing his job to Kyle Allen, hasn't played in a while, has to learn a new offense. I don't think suddenly this is going to be, boy, if I just put video of Cam Newton from the past on, this means he's going to be great. You can't just wave a magic wand and do it. But I think people think that's actually going to happen in New England. That doesn't matter. We could put magic up because Belichick can do it. He can wave a magic wand and turn Cam Newton back into a great quarterback. No, it's a low risk. And I like the move. But to think that Cam Newton suddenly already just going to be great just because? And that's what I'm getting for it. Just because. Why? Why is he going to be great? Because he used to be great. Okay, but he's not great now. Yeah, but he used to be great. You know, I used to be able to stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning, get up in the morning at 7 o'clock and go to work all day, not need a nap and be great and go out drinking all night. I can't do that anymore because I'm in my 40s. I'm in my late 40s. I used to be able to do that, but now I can't. And it's just because I can remember those days doesn't mean I can do it again. And that's the same thing for Cam Newton. People think that's just magically going to happen.
Can throw that speed ball by you. Let me tell you, life comes at you fast. And with Cam Newton, people are doing the same thing as they've done with the analysis of Colin Kaepernick, right? Of, well, remember him at his best. It's like, okay, we'll stipulate to that. When it was good, it was very good. A lot of time has passed. Now, Kaepernick doesn't have the physical beating applied to him that Cam Newton has, and as we talk with Jason Cole, I mean, think about the 100 carry seasons, 7 times. I mean, he averaged 104 per season thus far in his NFL career. Not to mention the number of sacks and other hits that he's taken along the way. So there's a beating. That shoulder, that though they were 6-2, the shoulder injury sidelines him. And then the Liz Frank injury. So is he going to be able to run like he used to? We know he's in the gym and he's yoked up, and we've seen the different videos and we've heard the accompanying soundtrack, so all good things there. But the reality is you have no idea what you're going to get. So an incentive-laden deal, sure, roll the dice, as it were, but this would go to show me that on any of the data that got put out by people that examined him, there was nothing on there that was remotely close to him being Cam Newton vintage 2015, right? And so I love the optimism. I'm intrigued by it. I wish I had been sitting on a stack of Cam Newton rookie cards because they quadrupled in value in 24 hours since this news came out. I had the Bill Belichick effect. What can I say? You're immediately penciled in to a deep playoff run. But it's certainly the reaction. Look, the over-under went up 0.5, right? Half a game for Cam Newton upon his arrival. That gives him 9.5 wins, Smith. It's not the world-beating, although it's better than the Jets.
No, look, here's the truth. I'll tell you the truth about Cam Newton, is that it's a good move for New England because it's a freebie. If he doesn't even make it to the season, you can let him go. You didn't invest anything remotely worth it. You can't just say, all right, well, boy, we look embarrassed. We got egg on our faces if Cam Newton can't play. It's a free. Maybe Cam Newton shows up and just maybe he gets in the Wayback Machine and catches lightning in a bottle and whatever cliche you want to throw in there. And Cam Newton is good. And suddenly, boy, the Patriots can pat themselves on the back. And if not, the Patriots, they shrug their shoulders and go, well, we thought it, but Cam's done. And what's the overwhelming opinion going to be in the NFL? Well, Cam must be done. If Belichick couldn't turn him back into who he was, he must be done. And no one's going to say, if the Jets sign Cam Newton or the Lions sign Cam Newton or the Raiders sign Cam Newton and he was bad and couldn't make it to week one, everybody would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And look, you signed Cam Newton. Da, 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 da. But the Patriots, because of the reputation they have, they signed Cam and it's, well, if they couldn't turn him into a winner, well, nobody else can, so he must really be done. All right, so just realize that that's kind of where it's at. Not every move the Patriots make is, look how smart Bill Belichick is. He's 10 times smarter than everybody else. Sometimes it's just, all right, why not? All right, you know, why not? Let's go to Cam Newton. All right, the big thing it tells me is that they've been lying to us all along about Jared Stidham. I've been lied. We have been lied to, because why would you bring in a guy who's a big personality that players are going to want to see start, because they've seen Cam Newton. He is a known commodity. They still have stars in their eyes with Cam. Jared Stidham is a young guy that's supposed to come in and try to win the job. Do you want to do that to a young quarterback and make him look over his shoulder at the charismatic, you know, former star backup who people really have a strong desire to see on the field? Why would you do that to the guy? I don't think the Patriots would do that to him because they've never done it before. They brought Tom Brady along very slowly. They put him in when they thought he had a chance to win the job. All right, they did the same thing with Brady and with Jimmy Garoppolo. We're going to bring him along slowly. He's playing when Brady is hurt. We're going to slowly give him a chance. He's going to be the guy. They're not someone who's going to take somebody, just throw him right in there just because. So if Jared Stidham really was ready, really was the guy, you would not see them make any moves, and Stidham would go in as the quarterback. So this tells me it's just, well, okay, they, you know, maybe something happened or something changed. There was some kind of philosophical change, and suddenly it went from Jared Stidham's the guy, and look at all these articles in the offseason about how great he's going to be, and you watch, and now the Patriots go and bring in a guy who is going to make Stidham look over his shoulder or could potentially beat him out. So all this great stuff about how great Stidham is, now you look at it and go, oh, boy, that was a snow job. Yeah, they were snowing us with that.
I think there's still a lot of like of him in the organization, because it's not just the Patriots beat reporters that have been saying that in terms of the Stidham love and what they've seen from practices and going back to last year's training camp. There's some excitement about him, but you've got an opportunity to bring in Newton. The Norv Turner was going and banging the drum about how Cam, if right, is the right fit for what maybe Josh McDaniels wants to do, right? You don't longer have necessarily the statuesque Tom Brady there. And even if Cam's not 100% of what Cam is at his finest, he'll still tuck the ball and run. You can still actually call goal line plays. Again, I look over at you, Indianapolis. You got a quarterback now that you got to have a lot of different play calls at on the fourth down and fourth and one or third and short, because quarterback's not taking it, Phillip. But with Cam, you could change up the offense. Those guys, maybe you get a little more yak opportunities with these wide receivers that aren't world beaters in New England. Maybe more game break kind of opportunities for N'Keal Harry. It's all wishing and hoping until we get on the field, because we have no idea what Cam is. If nothing else, he applies pressure and forces Stidham to grow, right? And if he folds, he's not your guy, right? If he goes on record saying he sees ghosts.
Yeah, but you still want it to be where you want to put a guy in a positive frame of mind to get all the reps, to not have to worry about guys in the locker room saying, boy, they really like to see Cam Newton in there. It's not about competition as it is as much about you brought in somebody who really could stunt his growth. you know, because of how big a personality Cam Newton is. And that's the thing. It's, you know, Cam's still going to be Cam. He's going to come in, and you think suddenly he's going to just not say anything and just be that guy and live the Patriots' way of life. No, he's still going to be Cam Newton. So it's different in bringing in competition. It's different bringing in Nick Foles than it is bringing in Cam Newton. Because Nick Foles is someone, look, for the Bears, Trubisky, it's, okay, dude, if you don't straighten up, we got a guy that's won the Super Bowl here. Yeah, he's not had the greatest track record when he's been an accomplished starter for a long time, but we know what he can do. The pressure is on you. We need to see you perform, or we'll go to him. With Cam Newton, it's we just brought in a guy that went to the Super Bowl, all right? And, you know, you can you think whatever you want, but you know the type of personality and the type of image he has and what people think of him. I think it's different, you know, when you talk about bringing in a guy who could potentially play if he has to, if you stink, versus here's a guy that could just come in and take your job.
Well, I think with Cam, at least from the outset, it's the he's got to prove that he's healthy and can get through the paces. I mean, that's going to be part one. And when are we going to be able to see that live? I know there was that great little video making its round. Even Madeline on TikTok saw it at least three times of Cam Newton going to throw a ball and goes, what am I, Tom Brady? Because it was a little bit flat. Ah, see what he did there? That was funny. Or unless it wasn't. But either way, it's making its round in the kids' world there. So they at least have some more knowledge of Cam Newton and his prowess. Look, the Bears right now, I don't know how many poison pens were out as soon as this news hit yesterday, given what they'd conceded in a trade to acquire Nick Foles. So there's a lot of anger. But you still have a guy that comes in healthy to fight Trubisky for the job versus maybe a guy in Cam that physically just doesn't get there. I mean, it remains to be seen. Like I said, they didn't make any huge moves on anything in Vegas, so I think some of the expectations are very little, at least out of the gate here. But I'm all for the competition and the push in the locker room. And if it shows anything, that any talk that the Patriots were going to give away 2020 was rubbish. I got the word rubbish in, so there.
You said rubbish.
Right, but because that'd become the, you know, popular thing of, they're just working to get the number one or two pick for next year. It's like, no, I mean, they're still working, still trying to find pieces, still trying to advance, and let's face it, it's still the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills. No matter what strides they've made until they've gotten over, it's still questionable.
You know, look, we'll go over where he's going to affect their wins and losses later on this hour. Because, look, this is to think the Patriots are not going to suddenly fall and be a 4-12 team. It's not going to happen. Are they really going to be 2-14 and suddenly, hey, Trevor Lawrence, all right, yeah, we fooled all of you, now we got Trevor Lawrence. No, the Patriots are going to be a team that, you know, before Cam Newton, we're going to be around 500, and we're going to be in the thick of the AFC East race for the majority of the season. Because, the Bills go in as the favorite, and they should, because on paper they're the best team. But are the Bills a 12 or 13-win team? No. You know, are the Bills a 10-win team? Maybe, yeah. So you're 500. You're going to be there. I fully expect the Patriots to be in the thick of the race. But you can't ignore the talent that's left the building. It's been a lot of talent. And if you had a choice between Tom Brady and Cam Newton being your quarterback, I think everybody would want Tom Brady, because Tom Brady has performed great more recently than Cam Newton has, because the injury is a big part of it. And getting back to who he is and all the hits he has taken and how he's been beat up. Look, I've told you from the beginning, Cam Newton's prime is going to end very quickly because of the physicality that's afforded him at this position, because of all the runs he's had to make, all the physical plays he's had to make, the pounding he has taken. He's a bigger guy as well. So you know his prime was going to end a little bit sooner. 30-31 was going to be it. Now here's Cam Newton, 30, and he's really on his last chance, because if he can't make the Patriots, is somebody else going to sign him? Not going to happen. He'll get cut, and that's going to be it for Cam Newton. Well, doesn't look like Cam has anything left, because if Belichick couldn't get anything from him, nobody else can. But right now, you would say, okay, Tom Brady over Cam Newton, but the Patriots kicked Tom Brady to the door because they wanted to move on, so here's Cam. It's hard for me to think that suddenly Cam is going to just be great again just because. And will he be? I don't even know if I could say there's a better chance of him leading the team to the playoffs or a better chance that he's not on the roster week one. Because if I had to take one of the other, that's a tough choice, right? Would you rather him take that he leads the, you got to bet he either leads the Patriots to the playoffs or he's not on the roster week one? I would bet not on the roster week one before I bet take him to the playoffs.
That's a good question.
Is he going to play?
How long can he play? That's a good poll question.
You know, I should put that up there as a poll question. Maybe that's a good idea, Mike Harmon.
Well, you know what? I have them quite often. Just listen.
You have good ideas.
Believe me, when I pat myself on the back here, I think when it comes down to Cam Newton here, look, I'm hoping we get the best of Cam because when he's right and healthy, there's nobody more fun to watch at the position. All right, probably Mahomes and Jackson are up there with him now. But Cam has been a nonstop highlight reel coming into his, you know, throughout his career. He's been amazing. So if we can get him right, and especially because he's on the Patriots, which means every Monday you'll be in here griping about what Cam Newton became. So that'll be more fun and delicious theater for the rest of us and for all of America. Not to mention the Between Two Ferns segments that he'll be doing with smoking a cigar and drinking a glass of wine while telling you about the play calling. I mean, all of that is great. I hope to see him at his best, and I hope that foot's healed and ready to go. The fact that it's June 27th, 28th before he gets onto a roster leaves me to believe that there's still some healing to be done. But for now, I'll go with he's helping lead them to the playoffs. How about that?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.